In sports, the tape never tells the whole story. Hiring is no different. AI can make candidates look like an MVP on paper, so knowing the person and the skills behind the resume really matters. That's where Robert Half changes the game. Our recruiters combine their expertise with award-winning AI to evaluate skills and fit quickly. Learn how we can find you specialized talent in finance, accounting, technology, and more. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com/talent today.
I've been seeing Blue Tansy everywhere in skincare lately, but I actually discovered it through one of my favorite clean brands, Primally Pure. I didn't believe in natural deodorant until I tried their best-selling Blue Tansy deodorant. This one is actually clean, and it actually works. Blue Tansy is this really calming antioxidant that helps soothe irritation and inflammation, especially if your skin tends to react easily in areas like underarms. And what I love is that the same ingredient runs through their entire soothing collection, from facial mists when you need a little pick-me-up to their soothing spirulina face mask, packed with raw honey, kaolin clay, and wild-crafted botanicals. I've honestly never experienced anything like it. So if your skin has been feeling a little overwhelmed lately, return to calm with Primally Pure. Their Blue Tansy line is a beautiful place to start.
Parles-tu français?
Hablas español?
Parle italiano.
If you've used Babbel, you would. Babbel's conversation-based technique teaches you useful words and phrases to get you speaking quickly about the things you actually talk about in the real world. With lessons handcrafted by over 200 language experts and voiced by real native speakers, Babbel is like having a private tutor in your pocket. Start speaking with Babbel today. Get up to 55% off your Babbel subscription right now at babbel.com/listen. Spelled babbel.com/listen. Rules and restrictions may apply.
What's going on, everybody? It is that time again. The Sooners Illustrated Podcast, episode 276 on this Thursday, June 4th, 2026. Josh Calloway, Colin Kennedy, Brody Lusk with you on a recruiting Thursday. Camp season has begun. That's why Colin and Brody are together in their own box right now. They're down in Norman. They've been at the last two camps, high school camps, one tomorrow as well. Some new offers, other stuff to get into from that we will obviously discuss. Oklahoma, two new commits since the last show. We'll break those down and some of the other news and notes coming out of Champ U Barbecue Weekend. It's a recruiting Thursday show, a lot to get to. And before we get started, a reminder, you can subscribe to Sooners Illustrated at oklahoma.247sports.com. Use the promo code SoonersPod60. That'll get you 60% off a VIP membership to Sooners Illustrated. As soon as Illustrated, the entire 24/7 Sports Network. Take advantage. Be with us every single day over at Sooners Illustrated. All right, fellas, let's get into it. Sure. Recording a bit later in the day than normal. I was down in Norman with some baseball stuff before the team leaves for Lawrence. These guys were up in my old neck of the woods at Owosso, up in T-Town, up in the 918 earlier today. So we're hitting a bit later in the day, but we're here and we're ready to go. How has the first two camps gone for you guys? And the first two camps were Brody, period. How's it been?
I was going to say, Brody's getting the camp experience. I'm building a nice tan. So
there
that's
you go.
Where I'm at currently.
It's been hot. But it's been plenty hot.
Dude, it's been hot. And to kind of help ourselves cool off, it's been fun this week. I've been taking Brody to as many spots in Norman as I can. So hopefully people drop in the comment section a recommendation or two for Brody, because he's getting a lot of firsts in Norman done so far.
A lot of firsts.
We hit Midway, Ray's Barbecue, Valare. It's been a fun week. And then, oh, by the way, there's been a little bit of ball sprinkled in.
A little bit of ball.
Just a little bit. You guys have hit some of the best spots, so you're off to a good start. And the fact that you get to have – I got to imagine it's a total game changer to have – AC and Everest. I mean, that is night and day. Because it used to be Everest was not as bad to be out of the sun, but it was just as sticky and stuffy in there. Like, it was almost worse on certain days. So that's a game changer.
It's been a little chilly in there.
There are some people like, I got some goosebumps going right now. I didn't even put that together, but Brody's kind of getting the deluxe experience with his first camp stretch. I mean,
are the
good food, air conditioning.
Have the garage doors still been open, or are they keeping them closed?
They keep them closed. Yeah, the AC's pumping. The weather hasn't been too bad up until like the last couple of days. I think it was the first camp we did. It was like 82.
Well, in the camp on Wednesday, the weather was nice until it wasn't. It's like a switch flipped at like 3:30.
We started the day and it was like, it felt like 72 degrees and cloudy. Yeah. And I was like, this is amazing. And then the afternoon hit. And you know what that's like, Josh. That afternoon on the field.
Oh, that track field is. Yeah.
That'll test you.
Add 10 degrees, whatever it is, add 10 degrees to it. But yeah, having it being borderline cold, that ever, I can't even imagine that, because usually, like I said, it's almost suffocating in there. But we'll obviously get into some of the camp stuff. A bunch of offers, early, you know, a handful have gone out the last couple of days that we'll touch on a little bit on the back end. Let's obviously backtrack to the weekend that was. We talked about it last week going in, that it was a big visit weekend. Lots of guys are going to be in town. And we kind of closed the show. I kind of threw out there to you guys of like maybe a name or two that you guys could think could commit as soon as like this weekend. And you guys were in total agreement that the most likely was going to be Jacoby Dixon, the 3-star running back. He does jump into the boat earlier this week. Obviously, a Texas native. You know, we talked about it last few weeks, right? I mean, you know, since they lost Jackson Stokes, there was a clear emphasis on like, we want to get another running back. This seemed to be one that came together obviously fairly quickly. And you guys were, again, going into the weekend, we're both in agreement, like Oklahoma very well could lock this down this weekend. And they did. Get into it, guys, as far as just what maybe helped seal the deal with Dixon and just how he fits into the class, what kind of a pairing that is with Keldred Benn, whatever direction you guys want to go as Oklahoma has their second running back now in 2027 to go with Benn.
Yeah, I'll kick this one off because I think – look, we were obviously in agreement this was the most likely commitment, but for all intents and purposes, this one's kind of been done for a little bit. Jacoby Dixon was going to end up at Oklahoma. It was just more a matter of when after he officially got that offer. Obviously, Dylan McCullough goes out there to see him at Brenham, offers that whole deal, leaves a lasting impact. And I think that Oklahoma, especially because Jacoby Dixon's recruitment has kind of been – enigmatic, for lack of a better term. Once OU entered the picture, that path was clear, I think, to Jacoby Dixon, to everybody. And so I don't really know that going into this weekend, there's probably better ways to phrase it again, but I don't know that Oklahoma had much of an opposition in this recruitment.
I don't think they had any opposition.
I that's what I would say. That being said, what I would then say is, Brody and I talking to people about the weekend and about Jacoby Dixon, like, they're ecstatic about this guy. They're ecstatic about landing Jacoby Dixon. Obviously, like you mentioned, they wanted to find a replacement for Jackson Stokes, but it wasn't more about replacement. It was certainly about finding a player that they felt could really complement Keldred Benn well and provide an impact as an individual, especially because Brody will get into this, Keldred Benn's status and everything that's gone on with Keldred. With Jacoby, what I can say with absolute certainty, and Brody would back me up, Oklahoma knew it was going to close this deal going into the weekend. OU gets it done. And this Sooner staff, man, you talk to anybody in the building, they're thrilled to have
him. Yeah, and you know, people will just see his rating as a 3-star and maybe gloss over it. But again, like we've mentioned this before, his junior season, he really didn't play much. I mean, he transferred to a private school, didn't really work out. His sophomore year, he was really good and I believe widely regarded as like one of the top running backs in Texas.
Correct.
Yeah. So then he's out the junior year and his ranking falls. But, you know, they think that this is a really, really good running back. And I think it's interesting because you look at Keldred Benn, obviously top 250 commit. You know, he took a visit to Florida last weekend. He has canceled his Oregon official visit, which is a good sign. That he's going to remain committed and locked in this class. And those two know each other. They go back a long way. So to bring in those two guys, especially with how excited they are about Jacoby Dixon, and then obviously because Keldred Benn, you know, I think we're all aware of the type of player that he is, to have them two in this running back class, you know, to add to, you already have DeZepan Walker and Jonathan Hatton, who are true freshmen. So I think they're putting together a really, really good class.
I was going to add this too. Like, they're obviously, Josh, you and I have talked about this. It's important to also look at the player grade within the three. If you're an 89 3-star, you're a potential multi-year impact player in the Power Four level. Jacoby Dixon, 86. People who have followed the show are going to say, okay, well, if he's an 86, what does this mean? I was kind of thinking about this the other day. Jacoby Dixon kind of gives me, and stick with me here, some Tank Carrington vibes, where really highly touted prospect right out of the gate and backs it up immediately. Then you get multi-time transfers, you get injuries, you have a lot of different aspects away from the field impacting your on-field status, and some of that luster, you know, slips away. But Jacoby Dixon is still, and you can talk to anybody about this, an explosive running back who can make big-time plays in the blink of an eye. And I think at his core, he is still that. There's just been a lot of winds down the road to get him to Norman. But Oklahoma sees this player as someone who could come in and make an impact, especially just like Tank Carrington, who, if you'll remember, came into the spring and capitalized on some stability. Jacoby Dixon at a program like Oklahoma with stability and coaching from Dylan McCullough, like, they think that the sky is the limit for this guy.
What do you guys like about the combination of him and Ben as far as just the way they kind of, you know, I don't know, the dynamic there? I mean, we talk about a lot more with like wide receivers as far as not having too much of the same guy or whatever. They are pretty similar size in terms of just their stature, but the player, just the, I mean, Brody mentioned it, you have Walker and Hatton in this previous cycle. You get these two mixed in, just what that pairing kind of looks like. Are they kind of two similar guys or not so much in terms of the way they play the game? Just kind of paint that picture.
I think when you look at Keldred Benn, there's a reason why he's widely considered one of the top running backs in the class of 2027. He can do a little bit of everything at an extremely high level, and he's another one who can make a ton of plays. But I think Keldred Benn, to me, has more of an opportunity to be your true workhorse, someone you're comfortable with every down and distance, making a play, whether that's with the ball in his hands or catching it out of the backfield. I think Jacoby Dixon, to me, has that like home run potential. Mm. Plug him in, get him out there, get Keldred Benn some rest, but that doesn't mean it's an off down. You know what I mean? If Jacoby Dixon comes into the game and Keldred Benn is playing at a high level, but he needs a break, well, you have another running back coming on who could go score from far. And that's not obviously the easiest thing to do, certainly at the running back position, but that's, to me, what Jacoby Dixon gives them. And when you have those two feeding each other, it puts defenses in a bind because they just simply cannot take a down off, no matter who's in the backfield.
Yeah, I think it'll be nice to have that type of an addition, especially mentioning like a Jonathan Hatton, a big, more physical running back, and then DeZevin Walker, who we saw in the spring game. He didn't quite hit the home runs, but still a really good runner. So
another big dude.
Yeah, too. Another big dude. So I think having that pairing between those four, what will be your underclassmen running backs next season, I think that addition of Jacoby Dixon is a good one, and seems like there's a specific role that he can play. Maybe not be like a bell cow running back, but he can still be a good contributor to this team.
And the last thing I would quickly add is he wants to be there, right? Like, you like him going with Keldred Benn because he's going to stick around. Obviously, the Keldred Benn stuff is still somewhat uncertain, but even looking several years into the future, this is a guy that's probably got a shot to stick on the roster and give you long-term depth. You certainly value that in the era of the transfer portal.
It's exciting stuff for Dylan McCullough. I mean, obviously, Torrey Blalock is a young dude. He's only going into year two for him. And then, you know, the two guys they signed and these two guys, that's quite a, you know, bevy of young talent at the position for Oklahoma to kind of build with. And it's like, hey, man, hit on at least a couple of these guys, you're going to be in pretty good shape for a while. So exciting one to add in. Second running back in the class. They get Jacoby Dixon. Like I said, going into the weekend, you guys were both in agreement this was by far the most likely guy to commit coming out of the weekend. I don't know if that was necessarily as much the case with the next guy, which you guys can paint the picture, you know, better than I can. But they got Gabriel Osborne, which, you know, we talked about it going in, was maybe the headliner of the weekend, certainly right at the very top. You know, just down the road from Mustang, elite cornerback prospect, one of the high-end guys in all of America, top 25 player for us, period, regardless of position, at 24/7 Sports. How, guys? Because you guys are both in agreement, like, Oklahoma's in good shape, but, you know, I don't think anyone was totally ready for them to lock it down this weekend. How do they do it? And just kind of reemphasize how big of a win this is, because this kid obviously can play a little bit.
There's no bigger win. I mean, there was no bigger get that they could have coming out of that weekend than Gabe Osborne. And it's not just because he was the highest rated recruit on campus and a top 25 kid. It's because if you let him take those official visits to Alabama and Ohio State, then you're putting things up in the air. But I think what my takeaway here is, I mean, you talk to a lot of different people, they'll say Oklahoma has probably the best official visit team in the country. And you see that on this visit, because Gabe Osborne, you know, it was seeming like he was definitely going to take all of his visits.
Yes.
Then he goes to Oklahoma and he's done. Now, I just think that speaks to how good of a official visit staff that is in place in Norman. And, you know, a detail is Roy Williams took Gabe Osborne out fishing and boar hunting. Yeah. Yep. And then you add in the recruit that hosted him wasn't another cornerback. It was David Stone, right? Similar type of recruitment to what Gabe Osborne was going through. I just think they did a phenomenal job with him on the visit. And again, I mean, there's no bigger splash you can make to add another, you know, could be five-star prospect.
Certainly a shot. I don't think it's an overstatement to say he's got the inside track at that fifth star.
Yeah.
And so.
I mean, when was the last time they landed a cornerback prospect like this?
It's been a while. I mean, I would be curious to know the exact. Maybe that's a podcast topic for another day. But, I mean, you've been saying it for a long time. They haven't landed a corner of this caliber, at least on paper, in quite a while out of the recruiting ranks.
No, and I think he's someone that comes in and is just immediately someone who's going to be on the field.
Yeah.
I mean, like, just to land him, I just think it's huge because the rest of their cornerback class is – pretty good. I mean, both of those guys that they have committed are going to be able to come in and you know, those are good prospects as well. And they're not done at cornerback just yet. We'll get into more of that later.
Right. Yeah. And I think in general, going into this visit, I think that to Brody's point, Oklahoma knew that if it wanted to win this recruitment outright, it probably had to take matters into its own hands. And so to Brody's point, Molly Jacoby, the director of recruiting at Oklahoma, overseeing the official visit activities, she's done an outstanding job. Certainly the rest of the off-field crew in that department, the way that they've structured. And, you know, Brody's brought up some names. I also just want to give a ton of credit to some of the other commits. I think that a big reason why Gabe Osborne went ahead and decided to shut things down is because a ton of guys were telling him, whether they're from within state lines or outside state lines, hey, man, like, you don't have to go anywhere else to get what you're chasing. You can stay home, go to this program. We all feel that this is a place that can win at the highest level and get you everything that you need because we feel it's going to give us everything that we need. And I think that Gabe Osborne was incredibly receptive to that message. I was told that several of the current commits were constantly around him, trying to just make him feel comfortable, not pressuring him or anything, but really just hanging out. And I think Oklahoma's whole thing was just making this a comfortable experience for everybody. And when I think that in Gabe Osborne's head, certainly don't want to put words in his mouth, but the fact that Oklahoma just made him feel comfortable, the pitch was going to be effective. And in the end, they end up winning this recruitment with Ohio State certainly looming, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I think it also speaks to the culture that has been put in place at Oklahoma just because everything you hear is all of the current players that are around on these visit weekends are saying nothing but great things.
And
the player panels that they do, that helps not only the recruit here but also their family to hear how these players have been impacted by everything on and off the field that Oklahoma is doing. So I think that that has helped as well.
And the last thing, certainly deserving of a shout-out, Brody tweeted it out the other day, Lamar Morgan comes in and closes, I mean, the must-get of the cycle, which for a guy who's just a few months into the gig here in Norman.
I mean, that was his first land as a coach at OU.
How about that? I mean, Oklahoma fans – like, make sure you give Lamar Morgan his flowers because to be on the job in Norman, however many months it's been, and to go out and get the guy in the class for Oklahoma in 2027, like, that's far easier said than done, and that's obvious. But especially with what we had heard and known about this process, for Lamar Morgan to help the front office and staff close on Gabe Osborne, it says a ton about what he's done in terms of impact at Oklahoma.
Well, and to get it done without letting this thing drag out into some drama-filled recruitment, right? Because I would have said before the visit, I would have thought that this would have drug out into August or July, and then a situation where, oh, we're in the season and you're monitoring, is Gabe Osborne going to stick in the class, or are they going to have to flip him from somewhere else? So to just lock him down when they did, I just think it's huge, huge. And especially if they can continue building out that cornerback class with maybe another really good addition.
Yeah.
Man, Lamar Morgan is cooking.
More additions in general too. And I think with Gabe Osborne in the boat as well – guys, like they legitimately have a shot at a top five class. And yeah. I put this out there as well. The fact that their top three commits at 24/7 Sports in a top five group right now is all from the state of Oklahoma alone.
Yeah.
I mean, that's wild to have this type of talent crop within the Sooner State.
To not miss on any of the top
guys. You're not missing. And then you got like a Graydon Howell coming in as well. I mean, outstanding job all around. And it's really cool to see Oklahoma build this class out with some of in-state type guys be the face of it, if you will.
Yeah, no, that's exciting, obviously, to have all the in-state guys. I know that gets Oklahoma fans fired up, and certainly some fun guys down the road, you know, for us to try and get to this year, especially, I mean, Mustang, certainly with Osborne now. That's really good stuff, and, you know, good call on bringing up Lamar Morgan as well. I mean, we talked about it, you know, obviously, Valiah leaves the NFL. That was later. I mean, it wasn't like that was right after the season. I mean, that was not that far before spring ball. I mean, that was one of the things we talked about, Colin and I, on the show whenever they hired Lamar Morgan was, hey, this quarterback cycle is kind of huge also. Like, he's stepping into a very big year. He's got some big fish he's trying to chase down here. And so, yeah, to lock down this guy is certainly a really big deal and a really big win. Before we move on from it, are you able to put into context? It might be a better question for Colin because he's been around longer, but just – how big the win is. I mean, obviously, Brent's had some big ones. I mean, you David Stone, Michael Fasusi, Peyton Bowen, among others. Is this in that convo? Maybe just a tier below? Where does it land in terms of just the recruiting win? Because they've had some good ones these last 4 or 5
years. Yeah. I would argue that if you wanted to do like a Brent Venables recruiting win Mount Rushmore, David Stone maybe is up there. Is right against him in that cycle. You mentioned Bowen, how huge that was, and kind of a clutch factor at the end. And then, I mean, Gabe Osborne is like one of the most coveted recruits in the country right now, and it felt like this one might be willing to go anywhere. So I think there's an argument to make it's on the Mount Rushmore for him.
I would put it on the Mount Rushmore as well, probably right behind those three that you mentioned. I mean, David Stone, Peyton Bowen, I think have to be up there. Michael Fasusi. I mean, after that,
I could build you an argument that it's in the three slot behind Stone and Fasusi. I could build you that argument. Peyton Bowen obviously is an elite player, but if he goes to Notre Dame or Oregon or whatever the case may be, the world still turns. I mean, David Stone, Michael Fasusi, those were such high-stakes recruitments. And this one kind of had the feel of that, especially considering the pivot that would have had to happen afterwards.
Yeah, right? I mean, if Gabe Osborne goes to Ohio State and he's the player that many think he can be, I mean, that's one guy that you're looking back 5, 10, 15, 20 years from now, you're like, man.
It's a what-if.
If OU could have got Gabe Osborne. And this is just – that's not going to happen.
Now. Here's the best way I could say it, too. You know, Josh said it in the nicest way possible. I'm pretty old now at this point. It's like Gabe Osborne would have found a way to be the Dax Hill or the Josh Proctor and some of those elite nationally coded defensive back that left the state of Oklahoma. He would have, to me, been in that type of lore, if you will.
Yeah, especially with the Ohio State. It made me think of Josh Proctor quite a bit. Big get, obviously, and like Colin said, in great position for a top five class now. So long way to go until signing day. They actually were back at number one briefly after the Osborne commit. A&M has now jumped back into that spot because they're having a nice week of their own down at College Station. But you're still in that number two spot, and this class is just shaping up fantastically. And the talent at the top is as good as any class. I mean, certainly recently, I mean, Hackett, Penny, Witten, Epps. I mean, it's a group up there. I mean, those are dudes at the top of this class.
Crew Jones is a stud. I mean, like some of the you've got Jameson Roberts coming in as a quarterback. I don't know anyone that has a bad word to say about that guy, and rightfully so. It's an awesome group. And even, you know, I talk about this a lot too. The back third of the class has dudes. I mean, like Graydon Howell is a dude. There are a lot. Devin Robertson is a really good fit. It's a heck of a group, man. It's a really fun – and you know what? I actually got asked this the other day. How has it been to cover them? It's been a blast to watch this group unfold.
Yeah, and I think they have so many top end commits and they're not done just yet with that. I mean, there's a lot of talk about a top 100 guy that they could add, or a top 150 guy they could add, a top 200 guy they could add. I mean, there's a lot of like top talent that they are still in a good position to land right now.
Let's talk about it.
The Sooners Illustrated Podcast. We'll be back after this short break.
In sports, the tape never tells the whole story. Hiring is no different. AI can make candidates look like an MVP on paper, so knowing the person and the skills behind the resume really matters. That's where Robert Half changes the game. Our recruiters combine their expertise with award-winning AI to evaluate skills and fit quickly. Learn how we can find you specialized talent in finance, accounting, technology, and more. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com/talent today.
Primally Pure just launched their Blue Tansy Body Butter, and it's more than a moisturizer. It's a full body exhale. This is their best-selling body butter formula, reimagined with calming Blue Tansy. It's a rich, whipped body moisturizer packed with barrier-building grass-fed tallow to deeply nourish dry, compromised skin. The texture is cloud-soft but ultra-replenishing. It melts in, protects against moisture loss, and leaves skin visibly smoother and more supple. And the scent? Soft Blue Tansy, lavender and sandalwood. Fresh, subtle, and elevated. If you already love the Blue Tansy deodorant or body oil, this is the perfect next step.
Parles-tu français?
Hablas español?
Parle italiano.
If you've used Babbel, you would. Babbel's conversation-based technique teaches you useful words and phrases to get you speaking quickly about the things you actually talk about in the real world. With lessons handcrafted by over 200 language experts and voiced by real native speakers, Babbel is like having a private tutor in your pocket. Start speaking with Babbel today. Get up to 55% off your Babbel subscription right now at babbel.com/listen. Spelled babbel.com/listen. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Yeah, let's segue from there. So, obviously, they get the two big commits out of the weekend with Dixon and Osborne. But as we talked about last Thursday going in, there was a bunch of other dudes. It was a star-studded visitor list. What are some of the other news and notes coming out of the weekend as far as guys who are in town that, you know, you guys obviously been reporting as soon as Illustrated every day. It's why you subscribe, obviously, to Oklahoma.247sports.com. But just, I mean, you don't have to hit every guy by any means, but guys that you feel like Oklahoma made some progress with, what are some of the developments coming out of the weekend in addition to obviously the two guys who they did get committed that we obviously just talked about?
Yeah, we're getting ready to talk about a trio of four stars here. So buckle up because it's high stakes recruiting season for the Sooners. And I think you got to start with Bodie Sparrow, right? One of the highest ranked prospects in attendance. We mentioned him as kind of the co-headliner with Gabe Osborne. And OU got one. Feels like they're really close with the other. Going into the weekend, I mean, Brody and I talked about it. Numerous people had talked about it. It felt like Oklahoma had a shot to close on their top safety target remaining on the board, but it was going to be tough to sway him from the journey that he wants to take, and that's he wants to take as many visits as possible. The Sparrow family wants to go and experience things, but also check off those boxes and do due diligence. And they had mentioned repeatedly, I mean, for months now, that that was the course of action they'd wanted to take. But Sparrow gets to campus, and I mean, it felt like it was close. It felt like Oklahoma had a legitimate shot to get him in the group with Gabe Osborne because, I mean, Gabe Osborne is committing that weekend. Crew Jones is there recruiting him at a high level.
Yeah.
Obviously, we had heard so many people from former players to current staffers. I mean, a tremendous amount of work done by everyone from the coaching staff, the front office, to the recruits and former players. And Sparrow was incredibly receptive to all of that. I also think that his brothers, his younger brothers, who were ecstatic about taking this visit, had themselves a blast too, which doesn't hurt if you're Oklahoma, right? But Sparrow's still going to go take other visits. You got Oregon, you got BYU, Utah is also kind of the, dare I say, the cloud hanging over this recruitment for Oklahoma. Like Utah is one that I know several across the national landscape from Oklahoma to Oregon to BYU are keeping an eye on because of Sparrow's numerous connections to the Utes. They're also an in-state program, obviously, so there's that aspect. And Utah's a really good program. Like, let me get that out there as well. I think that Oklahoma leads for Bodie Sparrow. I think that Oklahoma's in a pretty firm lead at this point the rest of June, but it's kind of like what Brody was talking about with the Gabe Osborne thing. If you see him walk away from campus, yes, you may have the lead, but now that process is somewhat out of your control. So I think the Sooners did everything they could except getting that commitment done. And now it's just about Bodie figuring out what he wants in the end.
Yeah, I think I would be surprised if at the end he wasn't a Sooner. Sounds like this visit went really well, and he'll take the visits. And I think ultimately, you know, Oklahoma's in a great spot to land that commitment when the time comes. But yeah, he wasn't the only Utah kid on campus that Crew Jones is trying to recruit to be a Sooner.
Yeah, it was cool. I put the story up at SoonersIllustrated.com, talked to Bodie before his visit, and he mentioned, unprompted, he was like, this is going to be my first time also meeting Uila Wolfgram, the four-star edge out of Maple Mountain. And Uila Wolfgram was another one that, you know, I forget to bring this up. We set the over-under of commitments at 2.5. And if you took the under, you hit it. But, I mean, again, it's like they kept getting real close and close. And obviously Sparrow is one. Wolfgram is certainly another.
They made a move here.
I think that Oklahoma is in the lead here, and I'm not sure that it's all that particularly close. I really think at this point, this is Wolfgram trying to settle himself down, recalibrate, and really figure out whether or not he wants to make that final call this early. Because, you know, he had scheduled a BYU official visit for the last weekend of June. That still exists. That's still out there. So in his mind, he had thought, I'm going to take this process well into the back end of the month and then maybe make a final call later. He's also taking an OV to Cal this weekend, which kind of came up, I don't want to say unexpectedly, but maybe a little bit out of the blue, considering especially some of the other programs that have been mentioned with him in the past, from UCLA to Michigan to BYU and several others, right? So now you have this Cal trip in the picture. You have the BYU visit looming, and BYU is the other, for lack of a better term, cloud hanging over this recruitment. So now Oklahoma kind of holds its breath, but to me, OU couldn't really do much wrong here. I don't think that it did. I think that the Sooners are positioned as well as anybody to get Wolfgram in the end, and that Oklahoma wants to go 3-for-3 with these Utah guys. I think they have a shot to do so when it's all said and done.
Same here. I think that they did a good job with Wolfgram this weekend. It sounds like they are definitely out front, and I guess you just kind of wait and see how it plays out. Does he take the BYU visit? Does he go to Cal and say, you know what, I've seen enough, time to shut it down? It's going to be interesting to see, but at this point, it seems pretty clear that the Sooners are out in front.
So the other thing we want to talk about, Josh, is something that maybe Oklahoma has done to make a picture a little bit less clear. OU has done a good job of making things a little bit more murky for Brandon Sherrard, the top 200 cornerback out of Shadow Creek High School in Pearland, Texas.
They did a really good job with him this weekend, him and his family. You know, I think that this visit went about as well as it could have.
Yeah, I would agree.
You know, they really did a good job with Brandon Sherrard. You talk about Gabe Osborne. Brandon Sherrard is also another highly rated cornerback, top 200 cornerback, four-star recruit. I mean, if you could land him, man, what a class at cornerback. And I think that Oklahoma is in a good position to do that. Right now, it's Oklahoma and LSU. This is one that it's going to kind of be interesting to see what happens over the next few weeks. I mean, his LSU visit was scheduled for a few weeks later, so it's going to be interesting to see, does that visit happen? If it does, when does that visit happen? And is LSU able to overtake Oklahoma, who I feel right now is pretty much in the lead for Sherrard right now? So, you know, they were late to the picture here. I mean, they came in May and offered him, but it seems like Lamar Morgan and the staff have came in and they've just jumped right to the top of his list.
It might be a stretch. You might disagree with me here, but dare I say Oklahoma kind of surprised Brandon Sherrard in the best way possible. Like, this experience really altered his line of thinking in relation to the program, especially because, and we've got an appearance from my dog here on the podcast, but I think that Brandon Sherrard knew that Oklahoma was a viable destination for him, but I'm not sure that he had really experienced the program to the fullest. And I think for him getting into the depths of the program and what this staff can provide and everything that OU was about, I think Sherrard, but I also think that the family, like Brody mentioned, really stepped away from the trip, thoroughly impressed. And I think it also helps, too, that you've got Texas looking at other cornerback options. You've got Texas A&M looking at other cornerback options. LSU has been on this guy for a while now. But I think, hold on. In the end, I think that it's dinner time probably. I'll get this fixed after this. But I think that Oklahoma right now has LSU nervous about what's next. And that's all you can ask for if you're the Sooners.
Certainly have them nervous. I think Brandon Sherrard, I mean, if they could add him to this class, man, it would be good. But he's kind of a quieter kid. And so to get him to come in this weekend and really feel like that went really well, I mean, it's huge for them. So if they can add him, man, that would certainly be something.
So, I mean, you got the two guys, the two commits you got, and you guys, you know, really positive sounding with the two Utah guys and certainly Sherrard. Overall, Brody, obviously, with all Colin battles back, good weekend. I mean, obvious question, but it sounds like it was a very productive weekend. Things went about as good as you could hope. I mean, maybe you swing a sparrow before he goes on other visits or whatever, but sounds like, for the most part, went to script.
Great weekend, I would say.
Yeah. Luckily, you know, this is live television, for lack of a term. Dog is now taken care of. Dinner is served.
Pup needs dinner. Cool.
The Champ U Barbecue served up pretty good stuff as well.
Let me ask you guys this, and this is potentially a tough question. I don't know. This is a definite question you would get probably from our board members. I'm going to put that hat on a little bit. I'm going to be the voice of the people here, which is what I try to do with these recruiting shows, throw stuff at you guys. Jim Nagy Monday night tweets 3 for 3. When that happens, what? So we talked about the two commits. When he tweets something like that, but obviously no one has committed. There hasn't been a third commit. Or is it? Did he? You think jump the gun a little bit? Oklahoma likes where they are with another guy. Is there another guy committed? We just don't know about it yet. You know what? What's your read of that when you see something like that?
I think there's a couple ways that you could interpret that. Sure. I think you could look at it as saying, hey, we're on the verge of getting a third commitment, and there are a few different candidates, certainly.
This was 3 days ago now, too. So it's not like it, you know.
I also think you could interpret it as 3 for 3, wanting to go 3 for 3 in the state of Utah.
That's how I would see it as well. And I think they're in good position to do that.
And look, I think that obviously everyone in the college football fanatic sphere is used to tweets being law, which is a really healthy mindset for all of us to have. But
yeah.
You know what, man? Like, sometimes it's a good idea for these staffs to use the platform that they have to put the pedal to the metal. You know what I mean? Put that pressure out there. Make it known how much those prospects are wanted. So to me, I think that was a subtle way of saying, let's get this done. Let's go 3 for 3 in the state of Utah.
I agree with that.
Very interesting. Very interesting. See, I didn't take it that way, but that makes total sense to me as well. So good stuff. Good weekend. You guys have had tons of content coming out of it, and we'll see if Oklahoma can, you know, obviously it's already great with the two guys they got, but potentially more that, you know, you can stem back to this weekend, the progress they made with those three guys. And again, more content coming in. That's why you subscribe over at Sooners Illustrated. I mentioned at the top, you guys are in Norman. Before we get out of here, certainly want to talk about the camps last couple of days. There's another one tomorrow, another one next week as well down there in Norman. Obviously, some new offers have gone out as well. Just kind of wrap it up a little bit the last couple of days before we get out of here. Let you guys go, you know, put your feet up a little bit before hitting it again tomorrow. But just what stuck out to you about whether someone who has camped or got an offer or whatever from the last couple of days?
I think you have to start here with some new 2027 offensive line offers that have gone out. OU brings in a couple of 27 guys, and usually if you're camping as a 2027, you're trying to earn an offer from a group of six program, an FCS program, or you're really trying to backdoor your way into the Power Four. And I do think that Oklahoma identified some guys that they felt like through a live evaluation period and getting some verified testing data, things of that nature, they might be interested in pursuing and extending an opportunity. And so the first camp we were at, they end up offering two guys along the offensive line, which surprised me, to say the least. And I think when you start with Jackson Lawler, who, believe it or not, I mean, again, I talked about this with Kyren Brown, the receiver. We've got a little bit of Amarillo, Texas flavor in this cycle, and I don't hate it because my wife is from Amarillo, and I think Amarillo is a great place. Certainly the subject of one of the best songs made. But Jackson Lawler is really interesting guy that's kind of seen his stock skyrocket over the last couple of weeks. Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, Wake Forest. You've got a lot of G6 programs in the mix as well. I think that, number one, the OU offer for Jackson Lawler is kind of a dream scenario for this guy. It sounds like he is someone who has a serious affinity for the program. Some of the digging that Brody and I have done, this is a guy that was extremely motivated going in, considering not just the opportunity, but the awareness of the program that he was working out at, if that makes sense. And so to get the offer, Brody and I were actually standing there watching him get the offer. And hands go up to the head, tears start kind of coming out. Like, it was really cool. It's the kind of stuff that you want to go out to camp to see, right? Sure. Jackson Lawler, new OU offer along the offensive line and interior lineman, I should clarify. And kind of sounds like this is Oklahoma and Oklahoma State for right now. I think the Cowboys have a little bit more stay power to this point. The offer for OU is certainly fresh, but one name to monitor. And then the other one, man, there has been a ton of California flavor coming to camp this week. A lot of guys from the West Coast making their way to Norman. And OU actually got Amazia Siale on campus. This guy is huge. I mean, maybe one of the biggest overall players that we've seen on campus to point. 6'6", 330 pounds, committed to the Cal Golden Bears just days ago on the
same day that he was at camp.
Yeah. So I have been told that he committed to Cal the day before or 2 days before-ish, depending on what you want to go off of behind the scenes. I've been told that the commitment was solidified a day or two before he shows up in Norman. His announcement with Cal goes live the day of camp. And then a day or two goes by, and I assume it was some breathing room, but Oklahoma ended up giving this guy the offer when he was essentially committing to Cal publicly. Fascinating layer to this recruitment, dare I say, especially because he just committed to a different program. Yeah. Really good program, too. This is a fascinating one, and it, you know, it's going to be one that we're going to continue to monitor over the next couple of days.
Well, and he just went down to Texas and camped down there today and got an offer from them as well.
Yeah, and I think that talking to some people around Amazia Siale, this is a guy that, number one, he is certainly someone who is interested in Cal, wants to commit to Cal, but I also think that this is a guy that had been circling this time of year for a while. If you're that big, 6'6", 330, and you can move and you look good in front of these staffs, we know what offensive linemen, especially of that stature, can accomplish if they look decent, let alone good. I thought Amazia Siale looked good at camp, earned the offer, and now he's picking up others. Another guy that maybe Oklahoma gets a little bit more involved with. And you know, Brody, like I would also probably feel comfortable to say this also speaks to maybe what they're saying with some other offensive tackle targets right now.
Yeah, because they had the two on campus this past weekend. I still think you kind of wait and see what happens there, but if it doesn't go your way, that's when you start looking at these new camp offers and really putting the pressure on those guys.
Yeah, you have Brian Swanson who visited, who
Book him.
Yeah, that guy's going to go to Texas in the end. We've known that for, it feels like, a year and a half at this point, too, maybe more. And then you had Corey Laga, who he likes to keep his cards close to the chest. You know, he likes to let the process play out a little bit. Sounds like Oklahoma did some good things, but with
no one will drag out.
If it drags out and Swanson's inevitably going to land elsewhere, now you have a couple newer names in the mix along the offensive line.
And they have five commits on the
offensive line. That's what I was going to ask. You know, stupid question, but why? Why looking for more? I mean, is just want a little more depth? I mean, five seems like a lot.
Well, I mean, look at their depth right now.
Exactly.
It's very, very thin. If you can get sixth one that's going to be quality, I think you got to do it. And maybe you can take like a little bit of a flyer on one of these guys that was at camp this week, more so in the sense of like he could come in and develop for a few seasons before he's asked to do anything. It could be a good situation for someone who's been a late riser in the process.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the depth currently isn't in a great spot.
It's not in a good spot.
And it's only going to change even further after this season because of the transfer portal and potential exits. I mean, obviously, they're going to lose Jake Michael at a graduation as well. Sure. And so you're losing some top-end guys, potentially Amarion Harris, you know, and then you go down the list and guys might look for a change of scenery. And you're just, as we've discussed in the past, guys, like portal offensive linemen are kind of a dime a dozen. You're going to get one good one for every 12 to 15 that are just – it's questionable whether or not they fit the top end of your roster structure. And so for Oklahoma to kind of say, you know what? What if we just went all in on the high school ranks in a quality offensive line cycle? I like the approach.
If you can get a quality player, you take him and you just figure out the numbers later.
Yeah.
That's the way.
It's a nice blend too of guys that need time, Cooper Hackett, some others, but also some guys that, like, if you tell me Caden Penny comes in and plays relatively early, am I shocked by that? No. If you want to find a little bit of blend of both and you believe in the evaluation, I think it's smart to take as many offensive linemen from the high school ranks as you can. Because, by the way, this is going to be the cheapest that they'll ever be. You know what I mean?
Fair enough. Interesting stuff. Bill Beadmill putting in work. Not a bad thing. But, yeah, I mean, that offensive line group we already talked about many times, it's loaded. I mean, you got Hackett and Penny at the top, and the depth behind those guys is fantastic, and you're talking about adding another one or maybe two or whatever. We'll see how it shakes out, but it's quite a group for Bill B there in 2027. Also, I'll throw in there too, just because I saw it, and it's just because it cracks me up because it's just a never-ending machine. Wyatt Cordray from Carl Albert, tight end, I believe, tight end linebacker. 2029, we're getting out there now at 29. We already have
not a real year.
Max Wilkerson in 29, who we've talked about before.
So Carl, I was about to say.
Ridiculous. It's just insane.
You know, our board, there are members on our board who playfully give me a lot of crap for talking about like 2030 recruits or 2029s or whatever the cycle is. I'll be talking about guys 2-3 cycles down the road. Believe it or not, folks, 2029 offers are going out right now. Wyatt Cordray from Carl Albert, Jason Witten offered him in person. Rush Williams, who's the son of a former NFL player, got the offer the other day. He's a wide receiver that I've known about for a little while out of Katie Jordan. I mean, 2029, it's time. It's time for them to start looking at guys, and also some 2028 movement as well. I should mention, too, that Declan Haying, an offensive tackle from the Midwest, also got the offer. He's a 88 three-star for us at 24/7 Sports, a guy that has Penn State, Ohio State, and Iowa also bringing him in for a visit over the next couple of weeks.
Interesting stuff. Been a productive first couple of camps. Two more to go. You guys will be there again tomorrow. It's a busy time of year. And you guys are
tomorrow, Friday, will be a big one.
Tune into the pod next week because let's just say tomorrow is supposed to be the biggest camp of the summer.
I like Oklahoma. It.
And if you want to know who that is that's going to be at camp, we got it over on the board, so
there you go. We'll discuss a week from now if there's stuff to discuss. But yes, I love it, Colin. You noted, you talked about it. This wasn't on the, like, I don't have a graphic for anything, but you noted on the yesterday we were talking about the show. Did you want to touch on Kolar real fast?
So Ben Kolar, Norman North tight end, in-state prospect, a guy that Oklahoma had been targeting for a while. We were reported not too long ago that Stanford was really heavily in the mix and pressing hard. The Cardinal arguably made Ben Kolar like the program's top target, dare I say. I mean, there were people in the state of Oklahoma, sources telling us that it was pretty eyebrow-raising, the amount of effort that Stanford was putting in. And Ben Kolar ends up choosing to commit to the Cardinal a few days before his scheduled official visit. So technically, he was supposed to be in Norman right around this time, and Brody and I had planned to basically just be in the war room here and hammer home intel on Ben Kolar. No longer the case. He heads to Stanford. Such is the case. They have a guy named Seneca Driver who's really good, and I think we all wish Ben Kolar the best. It's hard to deny that Stanford degree.
Yep.
Yeah, they're good at tight end.
Yeah, they're set. And I should also mention too, Josh, I don't know if you wanted to talk about it, but our stop today as well is certainly worth throwing into the mix.
Yes, I mentioned it off the top. Went to my neck of the woods there to Wausau. Some really exciting younger talent, obviously, with Cam Compton Nero, who will now be playing at Wausau this upcoming season. But there's some other guys there as well. Obviously, really good program. You guys want to touch on that real quick? You guys were up there chatting with the Rams this morning.
Yeah, I mean, Cam Compton Nero, I mean, top 100 player in the 2028 class. Number one,
probably safety.
Top 60.
I think probably safety at the next level.
Safety. Number one player in the state of Oklahoma. Right, yeah. They had him wide receiver. So
we saw some classified stuff that we can't reveal at this time out of respect.
I'll say, last year, he was at Rejoice Christian last year, which is in Owasso. They're in the same town. Smaller school, obviously, play. I think, is that two-way, I believe. Yeah. And he was quarterback last year. Yeah.
We'll have some more stuff on him over on the board. Did an interview with him and talked to him kind of about where things stand. He'll be at camp next week on Tuesday, so that'll be one to watch. But obviously, he's like the guy in the state of Oklahoma next cycle, so getting out there and seeing him, I mean, good to see him.
What was your primary takeaway from that interview that you guys did?
Primary takeaway from the interview? Well, I mean, first of all, you look at him, and they were doing a walkthrough, so we didn't see him in pads, but certainly looks the part.
He looks the part, and it's going to be cool, too, to see him continue to kind of embrace the slot defender role and growing as a safety. Because, to your question, I think several programs are looking at him specifically at defensive back. But
yes. Talking to him, that was the thing.
And I think that he embraces that. He looks the part right now of a power four safety.
Every bit of it.
Every bit.
Yep. Yeah. So good to talk to him. I mean, there's a lot of other schools. I mean, Ole Miss, Alabama, Ohio State, Michigan, Florida are all really involved. So, I mean, top prospect, you get top schools involved with him. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out
for him. It could be another kind of Gabe Osborne-style battle for an in-state defensive back. But Brody talked to him today, and we're going to have some more from Cam Compton Nero talking about some of his contenders on the site here soon.
He feels potentially cheetah-y. Down the road, because he's a big dude, like you guys said.
I think he could kind of –
years high school left.
I think that Cam Compton Nero can do really whatever he wants to do.
Sure, exactly.
If you looked at me and said, I'd like to play right tackle, I'd be like, I believe in you, man. Go do it.
Dude, him and ZZ Okafuweze last year, that was a lot of fun. That was a lot of fun, and they won a state championship, not surprisingly.
You'll enjoy this. We got a little bit of time to chop it up with Cam before he had to go in and meet with the staff. And I asked him, hey, you know, I know you had to play quarterback at Rejoice Christian, but is that what you wanted to do? Like, did you enjoy it? And he was like, yeah, I got to just throw it up to X-Man. And he went and did the rest.
Pretty much. That's what happened. That was their offense, was him making plays and looking for ZZ down the field. That was and it worked. They won a championship doing that. So pretty good stuff. And those guys both play defense, and we're both everywhere on defense as well. So that's how that went. Good stuff, guys. You guys are crushing it. Obviously, more to come. Again, subscribe as soon as Illustrated. Busy time of year. One of the busiest stretches for recruiting that there is right now. So jump in. Be with us. And we're getting ever so much closer. 93 days to kickoff today. And it's right around the corner. Right around the corner. I'm not in the habit. Usually we get under 100. Obviously, people have been with us. Brody's new. I usually say the number of days, and this is two shows in a row that I forgot. I'm not in the habit yet. I'll get on track.
You're still in baseball season, and you're.
I know that's the thing. I'm still in baseball mode. I haven't shifted the mindset completely yet.
Which is going to be fun too. If you're looking for a reason to subscribe, Josh Callaway headed to Lawrence, Kansas.
Boots on the ground. Boots on the ground in Lawrence this weekend. Going to be.
If you're a Sooner fan in Kansas and you see our guy out there, say what's up.
Well, I'm sitting at Hogland Ballpark in Lawrence is, let's call it, small. And so the media seats are outside. So if you're going to this game, just say what's up, because I'll be in the stands basically. So come hang out. I'll chat it up. Why not? So, all righty. I'll let you guys go. I know you guys have had a long day, long week. Rest up, get some food, get ready to hit it again tomorrow. That's it for now. I'll be back with Tom. Probably not Monday, because I'm going to be coming back from Lawrence or still there if there's a game three. So probably look for the next show on Tuesday again. We'll wrap up Super Regionals and hit some other kind of off-season football stuff. I'll circle back with these guys later next week to put a bow on camps and other stuff going on the recruiting side. Again, Sooners Illustrated with us every single day. Tons of coverage there, recruiting, baseball, football, everything else. That's it for now. For Colin Kennedy, Brody Lusk, I'm Josh Callaway. We'll see you next time right back here, as always, on Sooners Illustrated.